Amen. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Great to be with you. Great to see you. Hi, online community. So glad you're with us today. If you're new with us, I'm Jamie. I am one of the pastors here at Seven Oaks and thrilled to be so. And we're in a new series this morning, starting off our sort of major fall, early winter series called Living in Renewal, and we'll be getting to that in a few minutes. I'm excited to get to preach the first sermon of that today. Before we do, though, I've got some really cool news to share with you and a couple of other just little pieces, and then a prayer that I'd like to pray today. And firstly, the good news is that over the last few months, so sort of from mid-spring, as it were, to now, we've had four babies born. Yeah, I don't remember the last time we had four babies born in that amount of time here in the church. It's so cool. So what I'd like to do is just acknowledge those families and those babies, and we'd like to pray for the families. So Dustin and Danera gave, or Danera gave birth, not Dustin, but Dustin and Danera welcomed into the world baby Caleb. My son over here at the back here. Hey guys, welcomed Roselle into the world. Thrilled for you. Brennan and Joanne Sinclair, welcome Theo into the world. And most of you will know Mike Honkawa. Mike is actually our custodian. And Mike and his wife Amber just recently welcomed Helena, baby Helena, into the world. So we are absolutely thrilled. Can we bless those families? Excellent. And would you bow your heads with me and let's pray. Father, we are so thankful for new life. And we just want to pray your blessing on these four precious infants. We ask, Lord Jesus, that you would protect them and guard them and keep them healthy and help them to grow strong and well. May the hand of God be upon them as they grow. And Lord, I pray that they would grow up to become people who are intimately aware of your presence in their lives, and they would come to their own living faith. And for those families, Lord, we just want to pray for those couples and for some of them, brothers and sisters too. And we just want to pray for those families that during those times where the families feel stretched and tired, that you would just strengthen them and impart grace to them. I ask that you would bless these households with your peace and your mercy, and be with them as they parent. Give them wisdom as they parent, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Great news. Wonderful, wonderful stuff. A couple of other things for you. Prayer, which is really, really important for believers, central to what we do. I just wanted to say a few things about prayer. One is evening prayer is starting up again this week. So on the 22nd, that's Wednesday night, 7 p.m. in the community room. If you were part of that community before COVID or want to be involved in that and pray, then you're going to want to come on Wednesday night. Another thing we were doing back before COVID was we had a group that met pre-service prayer. They met down this part of the wing. And we're running two services now, so it's a little bit more difficult to do the pre-service. I think it's kind of really early. So what we're doing is between the services, we're going to be making room 105, 107 available. And so people, and starting today, so people are going to be praying after this service, and some people coming early before the 11 service to meet and pray in room 105, 107. So all you do is go down this little hallway past the washrooms, out into the hallway, and almost across the hallway is room 105, 107. So if you want to join and pray with your brothers and sisters, that would be a great thing for you to do on Sunday mornings. And the last one is, have you signed up for the prayer walk yet? If you haven't, let me encourage you to do it. Prayforabbotsford.com. Just this week, I was doing a prayer walk with some pastors from a number of different churches in town. We did an early morning prayer walk, walking around City Hall and places like that. It was so cool to be praying with other people representing other church communities. And so let me encourage you again, if you haven't yet signed up, there's lots of streets that don't have anyone assigned to them yet. So prayforabbotsford.com. Please sign up. Please pray for our city. We need it. And on the subject of prayer, I would like to pray a prayer today. And it's actually a giving liturgy that I'm going to pray. And let me explain that. Prior to COVID, one of the things we did as part of our worship services is we would take our offering in during the service, and we would pass a bag and people would put their tithes and offerings in, that kind of thing. And obviously when COVID broke out, we stopped doing that, partly because, well, we weren't here. But even when we were here, a lot of people switched to tithing online and giving offerings online, or would use the pin pad, or they'd drop their checks off in the office during the week. We also have those two boxes on the either side of this wall back here that you can use on a Sunday morning and put your tithes and offerings in. And that's great. And thank you for everybody who's been given generously to that. But there's one piece that's a little bit unfortunate about that. And what's unfortunate is that it's sort of disconnected it from a worship service, which I think is a little unfortunate, a little sad. And I think we don't ever want to send the message that, you know, you need to pay to come to church, or it's, you know, church tax or anything. No, no, it's a spiritual act of worship. It's part of our worship. It's part of how we say, God, I trust you, that you'll provide for me as I give back to you. It's a way that we give back to God because of the way he's given so generously to us. It's how we support God's work in the world. Like, it's worship. And so it's been a little disconnected. And we don't want to start passing things again because we don't think that's why we'd be passing things among ourselves during this season. But I do want to mark the fact that we worship through our giving. So I'd like to read that and pray. It is going to come, I believe it's going to be, yes, it's going to be on the screen behind me. Feel free to pray with me if you'd like, or if you'd like to close your eyes and just listen, you can do that too. Giving God, just as we love because you first loved us, we give because you first gave to us. Out of gratitude, we bring gifts of money to be used for your kingdom work. And with these gifts, we also pledge to you our whole selves. We give you our bodies as living temples. We give you our minds. May our thoughts support others and glorify you. We give you our time. May our presence encourage others. We give you our relationships. May our interactions be a light to the world. We give you our work. May we always strive to do our best and to help others to do theirs. We give you our play. May our leisure bring joy to many. We give you our hopes and our dreams. May our goals reflect your mission. Use these gifts, great God, through the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. So we're beginning a brand new teaching series this morning called Living in Renewal. And the idea of this series is to focus on the need for followers of Jesus to be living in a state of perpetual renewal, ongoing, continual renewal, growing in Christ-likeness, actually continually being made new in Jesus. It's acknowledging that as human beings who have come to Jesus, our lives need now be fully lived in him. We need to orient all the aspects of our life around him and his call and his will and his kingdom and his purposes. But too often what can happen as Christians is that we can fall into religion. We can be walking along a path with our eyes fixed on the pillar of flame ahead of us. We can be walking along the path and fixing our eyes on Jesus. But it's really easy at times to take our eyes off of him, to get distracted, and to fall into the ditch of religion. God wants to be at work in you all the time, always. Christ lives in you by the power of the Spirit. He wants to be at work making you new. And just in case you think I'm making this up, the theological word we use is sanctification. Sanctification is the idea of being set apart and becoming more Christ-like and growing in Jesus. And so we want to grow progressively in him, and God wants to continue to shape you and continue to renew you and fill you and disciple you and change you. He wants to see you moving forward in your walk with him and learning to trust with him and live in him. And if you're a person that finds pictures helpful, a helpful picture might be that of a river. If the river, a flowing river, is the presence of God in our world, then God wants you to jump in and be fully immersed in that river so that you can flow with him. But too often as Christians, what happens is we only want to go in knee deep. And some of us just dip a toe in. And some kind of look from the side and they're not quite sure if they're ready even to get wet. to change the image. God wants us to fly with him like eagles up into the stratosphere, but many of us actually remain tethered to the ground and we only get a few feet off the ground. So what are some of the things that stop us jumping into the river? What are some of the things that keep us tethered to the ground? Well, there's a number of them. Busyness is one of them, the scourge of our age. Another one is affection for the world and its riches, being too enamored by stuff. Another one is an idolatrous placing of other things as more important to Jesus. Another thing that keeps us tethered or keeps us from jumping fully into the river is that we live very fragmented lives often, where we have a box over here, you know, for our work life, and a box here for our home life, and a box for our relationships, and then we have a box over here for Jesus because we like a little bit of Jesus for an hour on a Sunday. And that's where we put him instead of seeing Jesus as the web over everything and every part of our lives. Another reason we remain tethered is that we misunderstand the kingdom. For some of us, we think the kingdom is heaven. We think that's the kingdom, and I've got my ticket to it, and I'm just going to pop it in my pocket, and I'll get it out when I need it, and I'll enter the kingdom, and that'll be great. No, the kingdom is breaking into our world. It's been breaking in Jesus for 2,000 years. You have actually, if you know Jesus, you've been transferred from the kingdom of this world into the kingdom of the Son. The kingdom is now. And so we need to be jumping into it with all that we have. Another thing that keeps us tethered is our own pain and suffering and disappointment with God. And Matthew mentioned that earlier, like with Hagar and Job, we can take offense at God. Another one is fear. There's a whole bunch of things that we fear. I don't know if I want to jump right in. I'm not sure if I feel comfortable with that. And so there are things that get in the way of living a renewed life. There are things that cause us to be stuck in our spiritual lives. There are a lot of things that entice us to wander. There's a whole lot of apathy that can exist in churches where people live in that way. But church family, have you ever been around a brand new Christian who's just excited? Have you been around somebody like that? Yeah. And they're just passionate, and it doesn't matter how old they are. They have this kind of youthful, vibrant, attractive, passionate, first-time wonder for Jesus. They've just discovered him, and they've just discovered that God is real, and they've just for the first time experienced what it's like to have the liberating effects of having your sins forgiven. And they feel light, and they're passionate, and it's cool to be around those people. And maybe it reminds you of what it was like for you when that happened. And you kind of remember wistfully what that was like. Or maybe if you've been a Christian all your life, you don't really remember sort of a conversion moment very distinctly. Maybe it reminds you of a time you were on a missions trip, or you went to a conference and God did something profound in that time. You stepped out of your comfort zone and you went away and you had to trust God and you saw him move and you just saw some great things and you were so excited about Jesus. And it reminds you of that time. And there's one of two responses we can have. Either we can be inspired by a person like that when we're around them, or we can kind of feel a little threatened by it, a little uncomfortable, because we know if we're honest, we don't feel that way anymore. Maybe we're in a spiritual rut and we're going through the motions. It's really easy as Christians to perform our religious duty, to go through the motion, to pray and read our Bible and go to church and do all the religious activity, and it's good, but it can become dry and ritualistic if we're not careful. How many of you have had this experience? And no judgment, because I have. I do. How many of you had this experience? You can be reading your Bible because you know that's a really good thing to do, and you're reading it and reading it, and then you stop yourself and say, I have no idea what I just read. You're performing the religious duty. You're checking off the box. You're doing the thing you should, but you're not connecting with God at all. Why bother, right? You ever had that experience? I have. I have to stop myself and I have to get on my knees and say, Lord, help me. Like, I don't know. I'm just thinking about other things. I need to put those aside and maybe write them down and show. Like, forgive. I need to. This is about connecting with you. This is not about gaining knowledge. This is about connecting with God. Or how many of us can come to church and sing the words on this big screen, but you're not worshiping? You're thinking about other things. You're thinking about all your worries and your fears and all those kind of things. Again, no judgment. It happens to all of us. Or maybe you're irritated because you don't really like that song. Right? And it's become, because worship has become about you and not about Jesus. How many of us experience those kind of things? It is possible to perform our religious duty, to go through the motions and still do the stuff, but not actually deeply connect with God. And in the book of Revelation, the Spirit inspires John to write a letter to the church in Ephesus. And this is what he says in Revelation 2, verse 2. He says, I know your works and your toil and your patient endurance. I know you cannot tolerate evildoers, and you've tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and you found them to be false. And then jumping ahead to verse 4, he says, but I have this against you. You've abandoned the love you had at first. God is addressing the Ephesians and he's saying, I know you do the stuff. I know you perform the religious activity and you pray and read your Bible and all those kind of things. And it's not like they were doing a ton of bad stuff. I mean, they're still doing good things. They're standing against evil. They're toiling. They have patient endurance. Those are good things. It's not like the church has abandon its beliefs. It's not like they've fallen into immorality. It's not like they've become a weird cult. They're doing the things. But the things have become disconnected they've lost the love of it all, the passion and the purpose. When you remove love and passion from religious activity, you end up with dusty religion. When you remove the love and passion from religious activity, you are left with dusty religion. And so this teaching series this fall that we're inviting you to be part of and engage with and think about and pray through is about asking the question, have you jumped into the river and are you living there, or are you just dipping a toe, or you're only willing to go knee deep? Or even standing off to the side and you're not even really sure anymore if you want to be anywhere close to the water. Are you soaring with God these days, or are you tethered to the ground, not really going anywhere? And church family, life is too short to be religious. Life is too short, the harvest is too vast, and the importance too great for us to miss the opportunity to pursue God with all that we are. And so throughout these weeks, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be looking at this from various angles. We're looking at living in renewal from various different places, and we're going to be suggesting principles of renewal. And the first one that we're looking at today is sort of the basic building block of living a life of renewal. And in many ways, this is Christianity 101. It's not, it's not anything different than we know, I think. But the first one is called Life with God. Life with God, living your life with, in, and towards, postured towards God. That is the building block. Another biblical way of describing that is to talk about being in Christ. The Bible talks about being in Christ in a very real and tangible way. And often when we talk about the point of conversion, when we first come to Christ, we often talk about this idea of, God coming to be in us. We talk about, along with all those things that happen at conversion, like we get regenerated and we kind of get forgiven and all of those things we talk about, we get justified and so on. We also talk about how God comes into our lives, and we often use the language of, I invited Jesus into my heart, is often what people will say. And this idea of God coming somehow in us and upon us, we are called the temples of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit having his mark and seal upon us, this idea of the Spirit coming in us and God coming in us is true and it's real, but it's also true that we are in him. We get invited to be in him. And in John chapter 17, Jesus says that. When he's praying to the Father and he's saying, oh, Father, just as I'm in you and you're in me, may they also be in us. The Trinity. You get invited into the Trinity. That's a scandal. That's amazing. It's a remarkable thought. And then a little early on in John's Gospel, and we're going to look at this in just a moment, in chapter 15, perhaps one of the most famous passages of John's Gospel, John gives us this timeless image, this timeless picture, this timeless sort of analogy of what it means to be in Christ and what it means to remain in him. And I don't want anyone to get misunderstood that if you go through sort of a, what do you mean remain in him? If you go through a spiritually sort of barren time that somehow, you know, you're not in Christ anymore, he's not in you. No, positionally you remain in Christ. We're not talking about abandoning faith here or anything. Positionally you remain in Christ, but certainly relationally and experientially we can feel distant from God. And that can happen. And so, you know, if I neglect my wife and I'm not really interested in things she wants to talk about anymore, and I never really talk with her and stuff, like, we don't cease to be married. We're still legally married, but we're not growing relationally. We're becoming probably relationally distant with that. I'm not being a good husband, and I should really figure that out. So let's read this passage. I may not read the whole thing there, Brad, but we'll start. John 15, starting at verse 1. I'm the true vine, says Jesus, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You've already been cleansed by the word that I've spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine and you're the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever doesn't abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it'll be done for you. I think we'll end reading there. This is an incredible, amazing, wonderful image of our life in God. And firstly, Jesus talks about how, God the Father prunes the vine dresser, the good vine dresser prunes and shapes and changes and orients the vine towards the sun, and those kind of things, those kind of images come to mind when we think about that, this idea of shaping the vine to produce maximum fruit. So in the same way, God, I think, wants us in a perpetual state of renewal, of sanctification, of growing, of changing, and so on. He wants to work on our characters. He wants to weed out those sins that are besetting in our lives. He wants to fill us with the goodness of his Spirit. He wants to shine his light into the dark corners of our heart. He wants to free us to be the best version possible. He wants to bring maturity out of our trials and struggles and pain. Many people spend a lot of time and money and effort and sweat trying to keep their bodies healthy, right? And it's good. And many people spend a lot of time and effort and so on trying to keep their mental and emotional health healthy and good. And that's good, and that's becoming more and more talked about these days, and both of those things are really, really good. And if you eat a poor diet and you don't move your body around very much, you're going to experience poor health eventually. It'll catch up to you. Well, what about our souls? What about caring for our souls? That'll catch up to you too. And then the passage goes on and says, and these are my words, of course, the only way any of that stuff can happen, the fruitfulness, the remaining, all that kind of stuff, the only way all of that pruning can happen, the only way you can be getting renewed and becoming the best possible version of yourself, the only way any of that stuff can happen is if you remain connected to the vine, vitally connected to Jesus. And if you don't, you will shrivel up and wither. It won't last. But if you abide in Christ, if you live in him, stay connected, then all the goodness of heaven can flow into your life. So the first building block, the fundamental building block of our life of continual renewal, is to make sure we're doing our life with God. And we all know this, but we need to remind each other often. So if you found yourself disconnected, dry, going through the motions, checking off the boxes, doing the stuff, and you feel like your religion has become a little dusty, and I invite you to reflect honestly on that. And I invite you to jump in, to take the plunge. Wouldn't it be great if we all took the plunge this fall in our own lives and together? What would that do? What would that look like? I don't know, but I think it'd be pretty cool. I'd like to find out. The way we do that, church family, is to pursue God. We have to be in pursuit of him. Here's a sort of a, if you want a sentence to scribble down to help you remember this sermon, it's this: a life of renewal is lived in passionate pursuit of God. A life of renewal, of perpetual, continual renewal and growing in Christ-likeness, the life we want to live with God, is lived in passionate pursuit of God. Our vision is to know Jesus and make him known. And I think from this platform, not necessarily this physical platform, that one over there, but from this preaching platform, I've said many times, and other pastors have said many, many times, that knowing Jesus and make him known, the first part, the knowing Jesus part, it is not knowing about Jesus. Don't get misunderstood about that. Like, anyone can know about Jesus. Anybody can study and learn and gain knowledge about Jesus. The demons know about Jesus. That's not going to get you very much. It's knowing Jesus. That's what we're going after. It's actually relationally and experientially knowing and walking with him and feeling his heartbeat for the world and asking him to give you the same kind of heartbeat for the world. It's knowing him, pursuing him. And so you might ask, well, how do you pursue God? Right? What do you do? Well, I'm not sure it's really all that complicated, really. But I think sometimes we just need to talk about it. It isn't all that complicated. If you want to develop a relationship with someone, let's say there's somebody you're pursuing in your own life, or you want to go deeper in your relationship with your spouse or whatever, you might go to some other people and ask some advice, or you might read some books and get some advice on how to become better relationally connected to people and how to become, you know, and that kind of thing. And that's good, and there's nothing wrong with that. But at some point, you're going to have to actually just go and spend time with them. At some point, you've just got to take the plunge and go and hang out with them. And so if you want to pursue God, but you don't really know how, well, you just need to go and be with him. And maybe you need to ask him. Maybe you need to sit with him and listen. Put on some worship music at home and just worship him. Call on the Holy Spirit. Ask him to come and speak to you. Open the scriptures and ask him, where should I read, Father? Don't make it all religious. Make it relational. The problem is in our culture is that we want everything now and we want it fast and we want it immediate, as quick as we can get it. Well, God isn't bound by, you know, Western cultural expectations, in case you thought he was. He's not. And quite often, when it comes to the pursuit of God, it doesn't always happen immediately. What I mean by is growing deeper in him. Sometimes we've got to pursue him, and sometimes for weeks and months we've got to pursue him, and sometimes as Western Christians we do it for a while and then we give up because we just feel like we're not really getting anywhere. We feel like we're hitting a ceiling with our prayers, or we feel like the Bible just isn't coming alive for me, but yet you still got to show up. You still need to show up and be with him. And a lot of the things that maybe you're doing that's become religious duty, it's not that you don't need to necessarily do things like that. It's just sometimes we just need to flip the switch. We need to be engaged in the scriptures. Of course we do. We need to be praying. Of course we do. Just because something has become rote or religious in our lives doesn't mean we just abandon it. Because pursuit is active. It's not passive. But if it's become religious, change what you're doing. Just change it. If you're not really growing in whatever you're doing, then maybe open the scriptures and just say to God, you know, I've been working through this kind of, but it's not working for me. God, where do you want me to read? Or as I mentioned, try worshiping. Try sitting in silence and just focusing your attention on his presence. It's good to pray for things. It's good to pray for stuff. But it's also good just to seek him for who he is and not his hand, but rather his face. Try praying the Psalms. Go outside and pray outside in creation. As I said, play music already. And as soon as something becomes dusty and like drudgery and you're not really getting anywhere, then change it. For me lately, I'll just share with you some of my journey. For me lately, I'm using this app on my phone. and it's really cool. It's really helping me. And what it is, it takes me through some prayers in the morning. It takes me through some prayers of confession and intercession and those kind of things, and orienting my day and giving my day over to him. And then later on at night before I go to bed, it then takes me through this kind of ancient prayer of examine, where I look back on the day and I say, where were you speaking to me, God? And where did I mess up? Where do I need to confess? And where were you so gracious to me? Where do I need to be thankful? Was I like the person who went away and didn't return thankful to Jesus? Where do I need to be thankful? And it's working really cool for me right now. But I haven't always done that. And I probably won't in a month or so, because I want to change it. For some periods of my life, I'll be working through the same book of the Bible over and over, chewing over it and journaling. That's something else that I've done. Other times, I pace around and pray. Often on a Friday, it's my day off. I'm at home alone, and sometimes up in my office. I pace around and I pray kind of warfare prayers, and I start just reminding myself of who I am in Jesus, and I start praying warfare prayers and pace and pace and pace and pace. Other times, I've gone away on a short retreat alone and largely silent, not praying anything, just listening, trying to get the rhythm of my heart to connect with the rhythm of God's heart. For years, I included fasting in my disciplines. I have to say, I don't like that one very much. It's not my favorite spiritual discipline. I don't think it's anybody's favorite spiritual discipline, but you know what? God told me to do it. And so I did it for years. And when I was fasting, I was praying for this church. That's what God was telling me to do. And so that's just me, and that's just me for the past little while. But when it gets dry and dusty, I know that's a signal to me that my soul is getting kind of away, and what's happening is I'm going into rote religion and I need to change it. I've got to pursue him and abide in him and seek him in some different, fresh, new ways to keep my relationship with him fresh. Now, let me just address something that I think is really important in us, and I kind of mentioned it briefly earlier. A lot of people will say, yeah, like I know that stuff, but I'm just too busy. Okay, you're not the only one. Everyone's too busy. And so a lot of us say, well, I just don't have room in my life to take a chunk. I can't do a Martin Luther and pray for 3 hours in the morning every, I just can't do it, I'm just too busy. Oh, okay. So I know a ton of people who are too busy, but they've cultivated different ways to connect deeply with Jesus in their busyness. Some of them have learned what Brother Lawrence discovered and shared in his famous book, Practice in the Presence of God, where he learned to abide in the presence of God, whether he was peeling potatoes for dinner or he was worshiping in church. He learned to cultivate God's presence in his life, whatever he was doing. He learned the art of abiding. I know people who are busy but have learned how to do that. I know people who commute and have long, long days, but they've turned their commute into the time for Jesus. They've said, you know what, I'm not going to listen to the news anymore because, quite frankly, I end up getting to work depressed because the news is depressing. So I'm going to use it as my time with Jesus, and I'm going to play worship music, and I'm going to sing, and I don't care if people in other cars see me singing. I don't care. I'm going to sing for half the time, and then the other half I'm going to listen to a podcast, and then on my way home I'm going to start praying. So I don't really buy the I'm too busy argument, because I could say to you, I'm too busy too, because I am. We all are. I guess the question is, are we too busy for God? I'm going to ask our team to come up back onto the stage, and I'd like to close with reading to you the opening of a psalm, Psalm 63, verse 1. King David is in a really difficult, dark space in his life, and he's in the wilderness. And it doesn't state it specifically, but he's most likely in the wilderness when he'd been sort of dethroned and his own son Absalom was chasing him and pursuing him, and his enemies were all around him. And so he'd lost his position, he'd lost his power, his family was falling apart, and he was in a place of deep, deep despair. But instead of praying, God, defeat my enemies, or God, fix my broken family, or instead of praying, God, restore me to the throne, he prayed what I think is something that was more important for David. He prayed this: oh God, you are my God, I seek you. Not fix it, I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So, church family, in this fall of 2021, I invite you to take the plunge. We're going to be looking at lots of different angles, as I mentioned, but to start with today, that the beginning is life with God. Is it dusty? Is it rote? Is it religious? Is it being pushed to the side? Bring it back to the center. Change it up. Engage with God deeply. And let's go on a journey together. Amen.